Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career, so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
The Monumental Savings Event is happening now at Unclick Freight Furniture. Shop an unmatched selection of styles now 20% off. Plus, take time to pay with 5 years no interest financing. Fine guaranteed lowest prices on home accents starting at just $129. Doorbuster living room finds over 40% off. Can't miss marble dining sets under $700. Plus, thousands off complete bedroom additions. Hurry to shop these monumental savings in-store at Unclaimed Freight Furniture or shop now at unclaimedfreightfurniture.com.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Live Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello everyone, welcome to another edition of Capital Calculus, the show which focuses on the intersection of politics and economics, something that is critical in democracies like India, especially in influencing what the little guy gets or does not get. Every week, this show will explore this intersection to try and give you a fresh perspective on the week that was. I'm your host, Anil Padmanabhan. Last week, the Reserve Bank of India, or RBI as we know it, hit pause on its successive cuts in interest rate. Predictably, it was the headline in the newspapers the next day. Mostly unnoticed though, the country's central bank signaled a recalibration in its strategy for the economy. From saving the economy, the RBI is now chanting a different mantra, revive the economy.
The MPC noted that in an environment of unprecedented stress, supporting recovery of the economy assumes primacy in the conduct of monetary policy. While the space for further monetary policy action is available, it is important to use it judiciously to maximize the beneficial effects on the underlying economy.
So, the RBI governor is in no doubt. He and his team have diagnosed the single biggest priority before this country to be growth. Exactly the moment when the union government should roll out its big guns, unveil another big ticket stimulus to revive demand and kickstart the economy. Assuming it does so, what will the stimulus playbook be? After all, India has never witnessed a crisis of such proportions. To understand this and more, I turn to Saugata Bhattacharya. He is the chief economist at the Axis Bank and authors one of the most erudite newsletters on the Indian economy. If you aren't already on his list, get onto it. I began by asking him to explain the context of the unprecedented challenge facing policymakers.
It might be useful to think of this, or think of the measures, think of the actual effects, in terms of three C's. This crisis has been a very unusual protracted confluence of three C's. COVID, obviously the first. Credit, which is something which has been going on for a while. And I think, to my mind, the most significant impact of particularly the crisis and also of the credit, the problems that we have seen, is confidence. Whether it be household confidence, investor confidence, the corporate confidence, whatever. So the three C's, COVID, credit, and crude, have come together to create this unprecedented slowdown that we that we see now globally and particularly in India.
So how do you bring that confidence back into the economy?
So think of this, the policy responses, etc., in three phases. So think of the three phases as survive, revive, and then thrive. Because remember, I mean, our erstwhile goal of taking India to a $5 trillion economy by 2024-25 is still top of the mind. I mean, we still need to get that done. You're absolutely right that confidence is one of the key things that needs to revive before we get on to that trajectory of that $5 trillion. Of course, I mean, the $5 trillion will have been pushed back now, but remember that. First and foremost, this crisis, this unprecedented crisis, is a public health crisis. So the lockdowns, the closures, the social distancing, etc., has had a very, very negative impact on economic activity. And gradually over the course of the 4 months from the earlier shutdown to the partial unlocking and partial lockdowns, etc., it's quite evident now, resulted in a severe loss, in a severe increase in uncertainty and consequent loss of confidence, as we talked about. So the first set of measures, the survive measures coming in both from the monetary side as well as the fiscal side, have to a very large extent, I think, stabilized what was a very severe shock impact on the economy.
And why exactly is it so important to restore confidence among the economic stakeholders?
Now, to get confidence back on track, I think the increasing transition to measures that are more akin to the revive part, particularly on confidence, because I mean, the more the cash flows that begin to come back into the system, the greater the confidence, the greater the potential of incomes, etc., salaries, incomes, earnings, livelihoods, etc., that people see, that will serve to bring back household confidence, worker confidence, employee confidence, and consequently that will shift over into corporate capex, corporate activity, etc. So all of that will begin to happen. So I think this is the critical part now, the bridge between the survive and the thrive part, which the government needs to get right.
While this may be the case, there is an interesting economic puzzle. The latest RBI survey of consumers reveals that people think the present is bleak and the future is not. In other words, they expect a turnaround. I asked Saugato if he agreed.
That was very clear in the RBI, particularly the consumer confidence survey that it does, that the immediate survey, immediate assessment of conditions is significantly down. But 1 year down the line, the confidence 1 year down the line seems to suggest that there is an uptick, that people believe that there will be a better set of conditions that will prevail in the future. This is also corroborated with whatever we hear, I mean, in our conversations with our clients, with conversations with other people, other segments of society, that, of course, I mean, these are some of the best companies that we talk about, some of the sectors that are doing well and are expected to do well.
It is clear then that the economy needs an extra push. In economics, they call it a stimulus. In March, we had a 20 trillion stimulus, but now there's a time for another round of stimulus. Big question is, how should this be administered?
Main issue now is a direct transfusion of resources, and which you're seeing across the world. I mean, you know, payment for in the UK, in the US, in Singapore, you know, payments are being made to households, payments are being made to MSMEs, so with a certain minimum thing. That is where the fisc needs to come in very strongly. Remember, I think, I mean, the initial hesitation, one, of course, I mean, because of the uncertainty that is involved in this public health crisis, I mean, you know, they did not want to spend all the resources up front. I mean, they must have waited to watch how things develop so that, I mean, they have some dry powder left to deal with exigencies. But I think the time has now come because now growth is the overweening problem.
But the big challenge is, how do you ensure maximum bang for the buck? Remember, most of the delivery systems in India are either leaking or broken.
My sense is that the government should now push capex between consumption and capex, because remember, even capex spending will very quickly find its way down from the vendors, from the project managers, etc., down to the households very, very quickly. So I think, and that actually creates assets as opposed to pure consumption spending. So a mix of both is required, but I think the focus now needs to shift on capex flows. India has actually done a significant, I mean, fairly well in terms of attracting large sums of foreign capital into selected segments, selected companies, we all know. I mean, you know, so some of the, so there is a global flood of liquidity by the global central banks that is available for deployment. India's macroeconomics is still relatively good. I mean, you know, foreign investors still think India is a good macroeconomic story. India's valuations now are more reasonable. So people, there will be foreign capital that will be ready to come. So I think a part of the digitization and the changing structure, economic structure, will be funded by foreign capital flows. I think the government at this point in time just needs to borrow more.
They seem to be picking up momentum. So this livelihood is now clearly the focus. You seem to be quite an optimist about India.
So, I mean, again, I mean, in a glass half full versus half empty. India has potential. I mean, we have developed significant competencies in many manufacturing segments as well. I mean, you know, there's no doubt, specialty chemicals, I mean, engineering, a host of engineering, many other segments where automobiles, I mean, you know, so despite the altering of demand, etc. I mean, so across the range, we have already built up capabilities. Those need to be improved. My sense is that, you know, I mean, this it's not that we are doing great. It's not. I mean, I have to be a realist. I mean, unlike many other countries, we actually came into this crisis in a significantly weakened mold. I mean, you know, in January and February, there were signs that there were signs of revival. I mean, you know, when the activity was picking up, investments were picking up. In FY19, FY20, companies, banks, etc., had deleveraged. Their balance sheets were looking much better. But this has reversed a lot. So the task is definitely far, far more onerous. I mean, there is absolutely no one, only a very blind optimist would deny that. But again, I mean, the opportunities that bring in, I mean, you know, it is unfortunately relatively a trite way of saying that India responds best in the worst possible situation. And this is an opportunity. We shouldn't let this crisis go to waste.
Saugata signed off saying India should not miss out on using this crisis to usher in a new economy. Every time someone says this, we remember 1991. True, but the first step in this direction is to revive growth. The unprecedented contraction should be contained. The bankruptcies, job losses, and so on reversed. If not, there's every risk that the fear economy will tighten its grip in the next few weeks and months. And that would be catastrophic, both for the present and future. RBI has done its bit. The proverbial ball is now in Finance Ministry's court. The question for the government is not how, but when will the stimulus happen? That's all for today. Thank you for listening. You can reach me on Twitter at Capital Calculus or on Facebook and Instagram at HT Smartcast. I'll be back next week with a new episode of Capital Calculus. Till then, stay safe.
This was a Live Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
HD Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.